What's up? Welcome to Ryan Holder Radio. I'm your host, Ryan Holder, and welcome back to the podcast. Especially for those that tuned in probably over a year ago, well over a year ago. That's when the podcast officially started, but I haven't done any episodes for that amount of time, just through lack of pushing it, lack of time, and maybe some other excuses. But it's back. That's the main thing. That's the most important thing. The podcast is back. For those of you that are new now to the podcast, welcome. Stay tuned, subscribe, because there's gonna be a lot more to come. So yeah, let's get into it, shall we? So what will I be talking about on the podcast? Well, firstly, I'm going to be telling stories, entertaining stories. I want to make you laugh, and I want to keep the podcast as entertaining as possible. Pre-warning, I do swear a little bit. So if you're a delicate little flower, you might not enjoy my fruity language at times. But they say the most honest people swear. So yeah. Secondly, I'm going to be sharing content with you to do with training, nutrition. I'm going to be breaking through all the bullshit in the fitness industry. I'll be sharing my experiences, my opinions. And the most important thing I'm going to be talking about, I feel, is mental health and my experience with my mental health. And I'll be obviously sharing my stories and experiences with that. So in a nutshell, that's really what the podcast is going to be about for the foreseeable future. So because this is now episode one, I've deleted all the old episodes because they were a bit naff, if I'm honest. This is now episode one. I think it would make perfect sense to kind of give you a background story on who I am, what I currently do. Obviously, you probably already know I'm a personal trainer slash coach. I now have my own private PT studio, which is pretty cool. I'm nearly into year two of having that. I've been in the fitness game now for 9 years. 9 to 10 years, I think it is. So, yeah. Put a bit of skin in the game, as they say. And I would like to think I'm pretty experienced. But still learning. Never stop learning. But, yeah, anyway. So, really, where did it all begin for me? So, I think I should take you all the way back to school. I'm just going to touch base there, really, because school was important, I feel, in our development into adulthood. For me, school wasn't that enjoyable. I didn't really like it. Not very good with authority. I was in a bit of trouble at school. And yeah, just didn't really enjoy it. I enjoyed PE. That was probably my most enjoyable subject. I enjoyed playing football for my school. Through school as well, I played football for my county, which was really cool. But other than that, I didn't get that great of grades coming out of school. Through school, I also experienced my first batch of depression, shall we call it. So this is where my mental health was first tested. If you want to look at it like that. And I didn't know this until later on, which I'm going to talk about later on in a podcast. But this is where I experienced my first batch of depression. And I actually got alopecia, where I had bald patches and lost some of my hair. And I think I was about 13, yeah, middle school, 13 years old. I got some bald patches, and as a boy at school, you're going to get the piss taken out of you. And it wasn't nice. And that was a little bit of a stressful period through my childhood. It was actually a short time where my parents had split up. And like I say, boys being boys at school, they take the piss. And yeah, so that was my first experience of depression. And like I say, I didn't really understand that until later on in life. I've touched on it now that it's in subject. It weren't actually until I had my first batch of counselling, which was 3 to 4 years ago now, I think. Now, if you've had counselling or you haven't, what counselling does is it really sort of digs into your past, and your counsellor, if they're a good one, will go back to your childhood. Because as adults, all of our, or through childhood, all of our emotions spill over into adulthood. So everything we feel and experience through adult life, emotional wise or emotionally wise, has been created through childhood. And you won't understand that until you go through counselling, or you sort of you go down this kind of path. So when I was speaking to my counsellor and spoke about childhood and about slight forms of bullying and stuff like that, and when I got alopecia, she was like, bang, there's your first experience with depression, right? And that's stress. When you get alopecia, it's caused through extreme stress and bullying and home life and stuff like that. So that's what counselling, I find, is really fascinating. In the unravelling of your childhood. But we can talk about this till the cows come home in a separate podcast, which I will do in the future. Right now, I just want to touch base on a few things and just give you an insight, like I say. So yeah, there was school life, a batch of bullying, first experience with mental health. Once I left school, I went into sixth form. That was still kind of at the school where I went, at upper school. I did 1 year there, was totally confused with what I wanted to do. Didn't know what I wanted to do, if I'm honest. And I feel very sorry for kids these days coming out of school, like 16, 17. Like, I did not have a fucking clue what I wanted to do. I was too busy smoking weed, if I'm honest, and playing up, being a boy. So, 1 year of sixth form, I then got a job in an engineering firm, which my dad actually got for me. And I worked there for, Jesus, I worked there from 18 to 22, I think. So, I was there for a long time. And it was a typical go to work, wish for Friday, go out and drink and party at the weekends. And that was my life. Really, for a good 5-6 years, Monday to Friday, weekend warrior mindset, weekend warrior lifestyle. Just yeah, getting to the weekend, wanting to get drunk, party, and forget about Monday to Friday responsibilities with work. Now, this was never going to last forever. I'm quite. What's the best way to describe myself? I'm quite determined in sort of changing and recognizing when something needs to change. And I've always known I'm, and this sounds a bit big-headed, but I've always known I'm, again, how do I word this, I've always expected bigger things for myself, if that makes sense. And that, I don't want to sound like that's coming from an egotistical point of view. Like, I've always pushed myself, I've always thought like there's more, like I'm waiting for the big break. There's something around the corner that's going to really be the eye opener to all this hard work. So for me, I needed to get out of what I was doing. And for whatever reason, I decided to apply for the RAF. And not a lot of people know this. I trained for, I think it was 9 months to be a PT in the RAF. So I went through the whole interview process. It was really long. Like, there was two or three face-to-face interviews at the recruitment place in Cambridge, and then the last part of it was the selection stage, where we went up to a base near Wolverhampton somewhere, and that was where we got selected. Now, I can't remember the numbers, but there might have been 20 lads there. Hopefully you didn't hear my laptop beeping there. But yeah, there was 20 lads there. Let's just say that. And on the first day, we had to do an interview. And they asked us the history of the RAF. We had to name some planes and stuff like that. Me being a complete and utter plonker, had done no research. Zero. I knew nothing about the RAF. All I wanted to do was be a PT in the RAF. So I straight away knew I'd failed it because they were asking me questions and I was like, I ain't got a fucking clue what so-and-so plane is. And then we had a swim test in the afternoon and I genuinely nearly drowned. We had to do this treading water drill, fully dressed, and I nearly drowned. So that was pretty scary. And at the end of the day, let's say it was 10 lads, we all got told that we weren't good enough. We weren't what they were looking for. And the next morning, we were sent home. So I was pretty gutted still about that. It was 9 months of my life that I'd trained hard and got myself fit. That was the main thing. Like I was like, I worked hard at my fitness. Like I wanted to do well at the fitness tests, apart from the swimming. I was rubbish at the swimming. And if I'm honest, they didn't tell us the whole itinerary for the swim. What they gave you in a sort of a welcome pack was just a really small bit of detail of what they do on the swimming test. It was 10 times harder than it was expected. But anyway, I came home there really, really gutted. And I'm a great believer in everything happens for a reason. I stand by that. Everything happens for a reason. And the next day, I think I was down the pub, shock. And I was talking to a lad I know, Ben, and he had just completed his diploma in personal training with a company called Premier Global. And they were based in Cambridge as well. So he was like, mate, why don't you jump on that? And I was like, you know what, I think I will. I'm interested in that. So I signed up. I did the 9-month studying course, which was sort of distance learning. So we had set days throughout the year where we had to go and do the practical stuff at the gym in Cambridge. I think it's now a Nuffield gym, and it was a Greens gym. So we had set days where we went in, and then we had subjects or modules to study at home, and I really like that. These days you see a lot of PT courses, they're 6 weeks, really condensed down, and I think they're wrong, in my opinion. I don't believe you can study and absorb everything you need to know or everything you need to get started as a PT in 6 weeks. But they sell the dream. The advertisement will be earn 50 grand a year, earning training X amount of clients, blah, blah, blah. And then people buy into it. It's a basic marketing tool. Sell the dream. And then people fail. I can't remember the statistics for how many PTs actually fail. It's high. Like, I'm just going to rattle a number off now. I think it's like, only 25% of PTs actually make it and use and succeed through their career. It's something ridiculous like that. Google it. You'll find it on Google somewhere. Studied for 9 months. Whilst I was studying, I was still working at this dead-end engineering job. I hated it. I was basically stood in front of a machine from 8 till 5, pressing buttons. And I hated it. It was the worst. And if my mate Steve listens to this podcast, he'll be laughing right now. So, yeah. All right, Steve. But then, obviously, I qualified, got my diploma in personal training. I then had to wait for probably, I think, another 6 months till the right job come up. So I didn't want to go straight into self-employed work. I could see that. That's where a lot of PTs fail. Because to be a good personal trainer, you need to be able to obviously prove that you can get results. But you need to be in a gym talking to people and building relationships. So I wanted to go into a different role, which David Lloyd offered at the time. And I don't know if they still do this. But you basically started off as a gym instructor. And then you transitioned over into a full-time personal trainer once your clientele built up. So, yeah, applied for a job at David Lloyd when it came up. smashed the interview, got given the job, and then I was buzzing. That is one of the few occasions, or one of the many occasions, I should say, really, in my life when I was properly happy. I was so excited to have this job as a personal trainer, doing something I was passionate about. Obviously, I enjoy exercise, I enjoy fitness, I enjoy helping people. That's the buzz I get out of my job. I enjoy helping people. So yeah, worked there. David Lloyd in Cambridge for about a year and a half. Didn't take me long to be one of the top PTs there. I think just before I left, I was doing like 1 6-hour shift, and then the rest of it was like between 20 and 25 hours of PT. So soon figured out I was actually quite good at what I was doing. I was good at talking to people, good at building relationships. I was getting results. That's the main thing. And so the natural progression for me was to leave and set up my own business. So I left there. I set up my business, which is now called LMP Coaching. It was called LMP Training. I then changed it to coaching because my business model changed. And like I said at the start, I don't call myself a PT. I'm a coach. I coach people and clients on all different levels, from training to mindset to nutrition. So yeah, LMP Coaching still started then. It's lifestyle, nutrition and performance coaching. That's what the LNP stands for. And yeah, so left there, got into a gym in Haverhill, where I'm located still. Worked at a gym called Real Bodies for about 6.5 years. Really built up my reputation there. Built my brand. Got more results. Worked with over 100 people. Maybe, I don't know now. Yeah, let's say over 100 clients. Then I left there. Last April. So April 2018, 19? No, yeah. Well, this April coming, so April 2020 will be the start of year two of having my own facility, which is really cool. So that was a big step for me, moving into my own facility, kitting it out, investing in all the equipment. But yeah, business has been booming again. Clientele has been solid. I've got group training programs on the go. I've got a male only group coaching program called Boss Fit, a ladies only group coaching program called Bod Squad. And this is something I'll talk about on a separate podcast as well, because we can talk about the benefits of one-to-one coaching compared to group coaching. That's definitely another podcast in the pipeline. But yeah, that's it. That's where I'm at right now. So there's my journey, really, from school to now. Like I said, I'm now 33 years old. I'm starting to feel old. The joints ache a little bit. I recover a little bit longer from training sessions. But yeah, so a little bit more about me, I suppose I should say, and what I specialize with work, because my work has changed as well. My business model has changed. From when I first started. So from David Lloyd, every PT has to go through this learning phase, this transition phase of figuring out who they want to work with and who they best get results with, because you can't work with everyone. It's impossible. So you might just want to work with women, and that's all you want to work with, ranging from the age of 35 to 50. Something like that, for an example. For me now, I really sort of prioritize and working with people over the age of 28, who typically live really busy lives, have families, run businesses, have children, and don't have a lot of time to train. So typically, the main thing I promote is you only need to train 3 times a week for 45 minutes at a time to see sustainable results. I'm not all about the quick game. I don't like sort of fast six week result programs. I'm not a huge promoter of that because you get results really quickly, but then you lose them really quickly. I'm all about the long game, sustainable, enjoyable results, and that takes time. But like I say, it's sustainable. So that's a little bit about what I specialize in work-wise, nutrition-wise as well. I go deep, I break layers down with clients. I promote a flexible way of dieting, which basically means no restricting of any food types, which is the best way to diet. We never want to restrict food types. Demonizing foods, so labeling them good or bad, is not a good mental approach towards foods. Nobody, this is a good thing to sort of clear up. Nobody needs to be told how to eat healthily. So you listening to this podcast right now, you do not need me to tell you that you should eat a wide variety of fruits and veggies, starchy carbs, drink water, get enough sleep, reduce your amount of alcohol, and reduce the amount of junk food. You do not need me to tell you that's how you should eat. But what people need to do is understand on how to basically count their calories, how to regulate these reward meals and junk food, if you want to call it that. Never call them cheat meals. This is an important note. Calling them a cheat meal will always create a negative outcome towards that food type because you're cheating on your diet. When you cheat at something, you're being a bit naughty. So if you changed your language into saying you're going to have a reward meal, straight away you have a different thought process towards that meal. You've earned it. If Saturday involves a reward meal every single week, because you've lost weight, you've hit your calories all week, you've trained efficiently and you've seen results, then that reward meal comes in. You don't cheat on yourself. You don't cheat on your diet. That means, or that leads to a negative thought process. So that's something to bear in mind. On to the next part. So just a little bit more about what I've done, really. Fitness goals, what fitness goals I've achieved, and my background, really, in sport. So something you might be interested in. Hopefully you're still finding this interesting. I know it's a little bit me, but I just want to talk about everything I've done in this podcast and get it out of the way, because it might inspire you. You might relate to it. You might think, oh, I didn't know that about Ryan. And you might think I'm a bit more of a cool person. Or you might think I'm a complete bell end. Either way, I'm cool with that. So training wise, all what I've achieved over the years, I've done the London Marathon twice. Both times didn't complete it the way I wanted to complete it. And that's a story for another day. But I have completed them twice. I'll never do them ever again. They're horrendous. The second time I only did it because the first one didn't go to plan. Then the second one didn't go to plan. So that was like, never doing these ever again. I am not an endurance athlete. I'm a sprinter all day, every day. And I was pretty good at it at school, if I'm honest. I have done numerous amounts of half marathons, 10Ks. That was when I was going for a bit of a running phase a good few years ago. Did the quickest half marathon I've ever done is an hour and 34, which I'm quite proud of, which is quite a quick time. But the running days didn't last long, definitely didn't last long. Then in my early days, I think it was when I first started my business actually, LMP, when it was LMP training, now LMP coaching, I decided to do a physique show. Now, if you follow me on social media, you may see me post some marketing posts, and then you'll see me when I was in probably the best shape of my life, with me top off, nice spray tan. I look like an Oompa Loompa. But that was just before I did my first physique show. So it's kind of like bodybuilding, but more fitness model physique. So sort of like beach body look, if that makes sense. So I did one show and vowed never to do and never won again. And this is definitely for another podcast. I can go into a lot of detail and share my experiences with why I will never do a physique show ever again. Hand on heart, brownie promise, or scouts promise, whatever you call it. Still took a lot of experience from it, still learnt a lot from it as well. So, loads of pros and loads of cons from it. Then, after that, I still wanted to challenge myself because I enjoy training and I always need something to train for. I need a goal. I can't just tick over at the gym. So, the next thing, the next challenge for me was powerlifting. And I stuck at this for a good 2 years and I did enjoy it for the majority of it. I competed 4 or 5 times in total over 2 years. Once was actually at the British Nationals, which was really cool. I was part of the BDFPA Federation, which is the British Drug Free Powerlifting Federation. So the first 2 times I competed at 75 kilos. I think I came third in my regions, but with my total qualified me for the nationals. So I went and competed there. I remember I had a chest infection that week and probably shouldn't have competed. Well, definitely shouldn't have competed, but still went, pulled some good numbers. I think I PB'd on every lift, which was good. Then I jumped up. Yeah, I competed 4 times actually, because I jumped up a weight class to 82.5 kilos. I didn't want to diet down anymore. It's hard. Like, I just don't enjoy it. I don't really care about having really tight abs anymore. Yeah, I can see my abs, but I enjoy my food more and I enjoy having high energy levels for the majority of the time. But yeah, then I competed twice at 82.5, both at my regions, and one of them I actually won, which was pretty cool. So yeah, I got a gold medal, if you want to call it a gold medal. And I think that's where I got my biggest total. I benched 135. I squatted 165. My PB on squat is 170, so I was a bit under on my squat. Then I deadlifted 20. Yeah, I matched my PB on my third attempt. Oh, sorry, on my second attempt at 207.5, and then I went for 215 on my third attempt and missed it. Should have gone for 212, then I would have got it, but never mind. You never know until you're in it. And with powerlifting and when you're competing, it's a fine line. You either get the lift or you don't. There's nothing in the middle. So yeah, did that for a couple of years, then just fell out of love with it really. Powerlifting, if you ever get in it, be prepared to train for a long time. You have to train for a good hour and a half, 2 hours, to get good at it, because there's a lot of mobility work that comes with it. You have to warm up a lot till you get up to your working sets. So, for example, when I was getting towards the end of my training cycles, just before I was about to compete for my deadlift, for example, to get myself up to 170, which might have been my first working set, I would have had to do 5 warm-up sets, 6 maybe, depending on how I was feeling, and slowly work up to that weight. And then you obviously need efficient rest in between those sets, and you have to rest for 3 to 5 minutes when you're powerlifting and lifting those heavy loads. So it just makes the sessions really long, and just a bit just mentally draining, and they're not very exciting either. Obviously, you're specializing on squat, bench, dead. They're your three main lifts. And then you've got accessory work that comes along with that. But that's all you do each week. Squat, bench, dead. Squat, bench, dead. Squat, bench, dead. And it's very repetitive. And I just didn't enjoy it anymore. I still do aspects of powerlifting in my training. But where I'm so busy now, I literally only have 45 minutes to train in the gym myself these days with running my business. And trying to get to jiu-jitsu, which is now my chosen sport, and it's probably, 99% confident of this, going to be my sport that I continue to use within my training cycles for the rest of my life, because I absolutely love it. I love how it gets me away from the gym environment, gets me around different people. I've always enjoyed and been interested in martial arts and fighting and combat sports. But there's that spiritual side to it as well. There's a lot of respect. I love it. There's so much to learn. You're constantly learning. I get beaten up a lot, but in a weird way, I enjoy that because that's where I learn more. It's a fascinating sport, and it's quite cool knowing how to choke someone out if you ever do get in a fight in the street. So it's also pretty useful for self-defense. So that's pretty much it, guys. I don't want to go on too much longer. I've been, what we timed now. So 31 minutes we've been going for. Just wanted to keep this podcast as short as possible. They'll be longer in the future. We'll try and lengthen them out to like 45 minutes to an hour. And I'll try and give you a lot of detail and content and stories in each podcast. So I hope you've enjoyed this podcast on just getting an insight into who I am, what I do, and my journey really to where I'm at right now. If you want to obviously learn a bit more about my business, head over to lnpcoaching.co.uk. You can follow me on Facebook, LNP Coaching again. Then Instagram, I'm _Ryan_Holder. And Twitter, I'm _Ryan_Holder. So give me a follow on there as well. I don't know if you can message me on this platform on Anchor. I don't think you can. I think I've just made that part up. So ignore what I've just said there. But yeah, like I say, hope you've enjoyed the podcast. And I'll see you soon for the next one. Also, I'm going to stick a track on the end of each podcast, just so there's a little song just to go out with. Hopefully you like it. If you don't listen to it. It's cool. There are going to be songs that I like listening to. Give it a listen, and I'll see you for episode 2. Laters! She ain't, she ain't, no she ain't, she ain't, ain't, no she ain't, no she ain't, she ain't, no she ain't, she ain't, she ain't, no she ain't, she ain't, ain't, no she ain't, no she ain't, she ain't, no she ain't, she ain't, she ain't, no she ain't.
better work, bitch. You better work, bitch. Better work, bitch. You better work.